You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC, located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. They've been here since time immemorial, and as students with privilege to learn and broadcast on this land, we have the duty to honor them.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Colorful Conversations, brought to you by the BIPOC Collective. On today's episode, BDE, no, not that, Boys Deserve Empathy, we will be speaking about masculinity, which of course is a very broad topic, but we thought we would bring to you our very niche understanding of masculinity and what it means to be a young man today. We will address some of the issues of traditional understandings of masculinity, but also look, hopefully, at what masculinity could look like today for current and future generations. Today, you are joined by me, Tamwani.
And me, Tiffany.
Before we discuss the concept of masculinity, it's important to break down the meaning of gender. Firstly, we want to preface this by saying, we are not experts. We are not gender studies majors. All of our thoughts and opinions are based on our personal experiences and things that we've learned anecdotally. And of course, sprinkled in with a teeny weeny bit of research on Google. So take what we say, please, with a grain of salt.
Are you energetic, mature, and committed to making a difference in the life of an Indigenous youth? Then you'd make a great mentor. Volunteer mentors at Vancouver's Urban Native Youth Association help youth recognize their many strengths and words towards future goals. To learn more about how you can become a mentor to a deserving young person, please visit unya.bc.ca/mentorship.
So, gender, what is it?
Well, gender is often confused with sex, but is in fact entirely different. While sex is a label, male or female, you are assigned a sex by your doctor at birth based on the genitals you're born with and the chromosomes that you have. It goes on your birth certificate. Gender, on the other hand, is much more complex. It's a social and legal status. It's a set of expectations from society about behaviors, characteristics, and thoughts. While each culture has standard ways about ways that people should behave based on their gender, generally male or female, instead of being about your body parts, it's really about how you're expected to act because of your sex. This is where the concept of masculinity comes in. Of course, both masculinity and femininity have evolved over time and still vary widely depending on the culture. But generally speaking, in any culture, there's typically a set of attributes and behaviors that we commonly associate with men and others that are more commonly associated with women. When we hear about masculinity today, particularly in a Western context, it is often spoken in very negative terms. I'm sure we've all come across the phrase toxic masculinity. But today, we really want to go beyond this line of thinking and highlight the experiences of men, given that this episode will be airing in November, which is Men's Health Month.
So when looking into the topic of masculinity, I'd ran into a very interesting article in The Atlantic called The Many Possible Meanings of the Masculinity Crisis. It highlighted a study done by Michael Kimmel, who founded the Center of Men and Masculinities at Sunny Stone Brook. He did an experiment where he asked a group of cadets what it means to be a good man, and then later asked them what it means to be a real man. So when he asked them what it takes to be a good man, they talked about honor, duty, sacrifice, standing up for the underdog. You get the picture. However, their responses really switched when they asked what it means to be a real man. Suddenly, they talked about being stoic, never showing your emotions, getting rich, and of course, getting laid. So when you look at the contrast and what it means, at least to this very small group of men, what it means to be a good man versus what it means to be a real man, it's not really surprising that we're finding ourselves in what is today being called a crisis of masculinity. The ways in which boys are taught from such an early age to quote-unquote act like a man results in self-destructive and harmful performances of masculinity.
However, it appears that some may take a very different stance on what the crisis of masculinity means. YouTuber Sydney Watson, in her video titled "The Insidious War on Men, The Destruction of Masculinity," suggests that the problem not be the toxicity of masculinity, but rather the complete lack of it. Sydney speaks about the feminization of traditional masculinity and aspects of the feminism movement that seem to shame men and deny them of their masculinity. She notes a study titled "A Test of the Masculine Overcompensation Thesis" by Rob Willer and colleagues at Stanford University. In this thesis, they assert that men react to masculinity threats with extreme demonstrations of masculinity. In their study, they randomly gave men feedback suggesting that they were either masculine or feminine, and when they were given the latter, they expressed more support for war, homophobic attitudes, and desire to advance in dominance hierarchies. Sydney suggests that the denial of masculinity is contributing to negative behavior. However, could this be reframed rather as a direct result of toxic masculinity? Why may men express such extreme and aggressive emotions when their masculinity is challenged? For young POC men, does this apply? Is there confusion around a man's role in society? What is a man's role in society? If there is, why may they feel this way?
Who can I love when they tell me I can't love myself? How in the hell could I possibly love someone else? Who can I love when they tell me I can't love myself?
For them niggas like me.
How in the hell could I possibly love someone else?
So when it comes to the notion of being strong and never showing your emotions, this has been one of the most detrimental aspects of masculinity as we know it. Men can often feel like they can't be real and open about their emotions, which leads to feelings of isolation and hopelessness. When we add on stereotypes placed specifically on men of color, for example, black men, and expectations for them to fit into hyper-masculine tropes, it's easy to see how these pressures can start to take their toll on men who feel that they can't live up to society's standards. There is a beautiful film/spoken word project made by a young spoken word artist called Iggy London, and he called his project Black Boys Don't Cry. Its message challenges restrictive ideals of masculinity placed on black men, and we thought we would include some of it here.
So I tell you the story of the black boy who never cried. He, like I, enslaved but no slave master in sight, yet I am whipped till they see red meat stripped down from my head to my feet, enslaved. No light, no savior, no sleep. Enslaved because we are too weak. We are yet to overcome any emotion but that of anger until we are behind bars or 6 feet under. But why aren't we taught to drop down our barriers and pick up our pens? My fellow brothers, we have a lot of work to do. Instead, we are fed inner lies which institutionalize us to believe that black boys don't cry. Black boys never cry, but if we do, we must hold back the tears that are heavy like hurricanes or tsunamis will strip us of our birthright. But is my melanin not the same? My ancestors paid for my fellowship. Why do you keep questioning my membership? Have we not learned from our apartheid? Rest your heavy souls, my brothers. Wade waters before you question what is right. We have been conditioned to think that our emotions are not permitted, but maybe it's okay for a man to feel helpless sometimes. Instead of holding the torch for the rest to see, maybe it's okay for a guy to, I don't know, roll out of bed, sleep till midday, watch daytime TV. Maybe being moist like Drake is the best thing you could ever be. Seeing the world in the colors you were born to see. Because we come in peace. To piece the puzzles the men can't seem to paint a picture to. To break the chains that crumbled a race to their knees. To be the voice of the meek. But they said I'll inherit the earth one day, so no one could know I was weak.
This piece is powerful because it highlights not only the terrible pressure put on black men, but also the painful weight of having to uphold these stereotypes.
Well, it turns out toxic masculinity can be fatal. Currently, men die of suicide at a rate 4 times greater than women, and that statistic excludes cases that go unreported. Men can be more vulnerable to suicide because they tend to ignore their stress entirely or deal with it by engaging in self-destructive actions, such as abusing drugs and alcohol, promiscuity, and other risk-taking behaviors. Men may suppress their feelings until they erupt irritably, in anger or hostility. They also lack a social support system.
A study done in New Zealand a few years ago looked into men's social relationships and their impacts on mental health. They found that most men tend to compartmentalize their relationships and distinguish between the types of relationships they have with men versus the types of relationships they have with women. 40% of men in the study said that the relationships they had with men were mainly based around social and physical activities, such as playing sports or going out for drinks. They tended not to really share or discuss personal issues with their male friends. Instead, they tended to go to their female friends when they needed emotional support. Some men in the study expressed difficulty in confiding with their friends. There was a really sad example of a guy who confided in his closest friend saying, "I think I'm depressed." And the friend replied, "Ah, that's a shame." This response, of course, cut off the conversation and made the man feel like he couldn't go any further in disclosing his feelings. I think this study highlights the fact that not only are men discouraged from showing their emotions, their lack of experience and neglect of their own emotions can leave them ill-equipped to support their friends when they need it. It becomes a classic situation of the blind leading the blind. This is where men, as also described in the study, turn to female support when in emotional distress.
This is also where traditional expectations of masculinity feed into traditional expectations of femininity. Society expects women to take on the role of the carer and the nurturer. And although one might argue these are positive roles, is it really fair to expect women to carry the emotional load of an entire society?
As a woman, I often take for granted the level of emotional vulnerability I'm permitted to show. When I do feel unhappy or stressed, I feel comfortable enough to go to my friends. And I'm also lucky enough that my friends offer me empathy and grace in these moments. I think that this is something that society needs to improve on and offer more to men. What would the world look like today if men weren't told to, quote-unquote, man up when they're feeling depressed or experiencing negative emotions? We need to recognize that there is nothing innately tied to being stoic or aggressive when it comes to being a man. These are all things that have been projected onto us since we were children and are still widely policed even when we enter adulthood.
That's why, for our episode today, we wanted to talk to our friends who are young POC men and thus still navigating what it means to be a man of color in society today, but most importantly for themselves. Our first guest is Oliver, who is a young independent artist based in Vancouver.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
All right, well, hello, Oliver.
Hi.
Can you tell us where you're from?
I am half Asian and half white, but that's also mixed with other things. It makes it a little more complicated, but for the most part, white on the other half, yeah.
Awesome. So how do you present yourself? Do you ever feel that you present yourself differently depending on who you're around? Example, like with people who identify as men or women or friends versus family.
Well, like, yeah, I guess it varies from person to person. Like, for me, I guess their gender doesn't matter as much as it doesn't matter as much. I guess it depends on how long I've known the person, if I'm able to identify fully with them. I guess when I first meet people, I'm a little bit more reserved and with expressing who I am, but mm-hmm. with like people that I'm close to, I'm able to express my full self to them.
I see. So I'm gonna ask a very personal question. So
okay, right off the bat.
Yes, let's get into this. So who do you go to when you're feeling down? Like, we all feel down sometimes, but who is that person or those people?
A lot of the time I go to just the people close to me, like maybe sometimes not my family, because a lot of time with a lot of people that they're not as connected to their immediate family and they don't feel comfortable sharing like the really intimate stuff with them. But mm-hmm. I guess other people that are close to me, like I have a couple close friends that I go to and people who also understand mental health, who have their own struggles, can often relate better. And like when I know that they're not just listening to give advice and they're just listening to listen, that's often nice. I also have a therapist, so that also helps. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Nice. So do you feel, I guess it depends on the person, but how do you open like these vulnerable conversations?
Well, there's no real specific way that I open it. I just, when I feel comfortable enough with the person, we'll often like get deep with each other, and then like that'll open up a whole new realm of like conversation topics more than like surface level stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you feel like the way that you present? Do you feel the pressure like not to be emotionally vulnerable or?
Well, not necessarily. I think when I was younger, I used to a lot more because of just like, you know, not being comfortable with myself and feeling insecure about that and people's perceptions. But
yeah.
Now I'm a lot more like, I guess, in tune with that side of myself. And since I've kind of tried to let go of like the toxic masculinity and stuff, I've definitely found it easier to open up more since mm-hmm. I've started seeing past that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, tell me more about how did you let go of that, you know, toxic masculinity that...
Well, like, it's not that I like had like that much of like I needed that sorry it's not like I had that much of like an urge to just be like a big strong manly man, but just being like raised by like my mom and my sisters, I've always kind of been more in touch with my feminine side, I'd like to say. But I guess after I like came out earlier this year, after I realized that I was like not completely straight, it was a lot easier to not have that urge to just be masculine all the time.
I'm sorry. Do you feel pressure to dress a certain way? I know that, like, yeah, how do you feel when it comes to dressing and presenting yourself, like, physically?
I really like dressing up. Like, dressing up in fashion is, like, one of my favorite things to do. Not to say that I'm very good at it, but, like, I really like putting together outfits and stuff. And I during high school, you know, you it's high school, you're not really going to like dress that avant-garde because you're scared of people's opinions. But since I graduated, I think I've really got more in touch with that side of myself and putting on a little bit more eccentric looks and stuff, even to do with like makeup and stuff. I've been really into makeup recently.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't really feel the pressure to dress a certain way anymore. But like when I'm going to the grocery store, maybe don't want to dress that avant-garde because, you know, Safeway or whatever.
Okay, so let's see. What words come to mind when you're asked, like, what does it mean to be a good person?
Open-mindedness and just general respect and being good for the sake of being good rather than others' opinions of you.
Okay. Okay, so this is like a little experiment now where I'm going to ask you, what does it mean to be a good man?
What
words come to your mind?
Oh, that's interesting. A good man is, I think self-awareness is very important. And like knowing the privilege you have as a man and introspection is really important to like debunk all the toxic masculinity in yourself and realizing that it's okay to show your emotions and how healthy emotional processing is what's going to help in the long run for a lot of issues.
I see. Now, what words come to mind? Like, what does it mean to be a quote-unquote real man?
A real man? Like, are we talking about like what's been told to me or what I think is a real man?
Let's go. Tell me both. What have you been told and what do you truly feel?
Sorry, I'm cracking my knuckles.
No worries.
Well, like growing up and you hear like what's like a big, strong, manly man, you hear like the guy who doesn't show his emotions or is like a lumberjack in the woods doing manual labor all the time. And that's what it takes to be a man. You can't let anything get to you. And like, I think my version of being a man is not necessarily like being emotional all the time. Like you don't have to be. If you are, that's fine. But like being open and being in touch with your more nurturing side and not being afraid to just, it's more, one thing my drama teacher told me once was I am tough enough to cry. And that really stuck with me because showing emotion takes a lot of bravery for a lot of people. It's not that easy for some of us. So I think like crying in front of somebody is one of the bravest things anybody can do.
I definitely see that. So do you feel any additional pressures with being a mixed Asian man?
I'm going to be honest. Growing up mixed with Asian and white, it's given me a lot of privilege and a lot of my struggles have been internal with like feeling a pull to one side or a pull to the other. But, although I have like faced like little bits of discrimination here and there across my life, I have not experienced the same as someone who would be full Asian. Like we don't have the same experience. But yeah, it's given me a lot of privilege in life. And I don't really feel additional pressures, especially because I don't know too much about my background. I'm not really as in touch with my culture as others are. So I don't feel like it is something that defines me as much.
I see. Now, pretty positive question. What do you like most about being a man?
I don't think... like I like it is the right term. I think
that's,
I would say I'm like grateful and aware of the privilege I have.
Yeah.
Like I'm being able to walk at night alone is quite nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think being a man is, I haven't known anything else. So I guess it's hard to say because I don't know your experience. I don't know which one is.
That's fair. We can sometimes just like imagine what it's like to be in someone else's shoes, but to to actually be that person, it's, mm-hmm. it's a bit different. Yeah, so I'm just going to open up the floor to see, like, is there anything else you want to talk about, like, yourself and your life experiences, or, like, more experiences being a mixed Asian man? Like,
I think, like, being mixed, like, you know this as well. You, it's a very internal battle of, like, not feeling any pull to one side or another. But I think, I mean, it used to bug me a lot when, like, people, like, perceptions of me, of what I look like ethnicity-wise, would change person to person. Like, if everyone just thought I looked white, or if everyone just thought I looked Asian, it could make peace with that. But, like, the fact that it changes from person to person, like, this person will think I'm white, this person will think I'm Asian, this person don't know what I look like at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just, when I was younger, that used to drive me nuts. But, like, I don't know. I think I've just kind of, like, let go and found my own person as I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
We also spoke to Akash, who is a university student in his final year of study. Originally from India, he is now based in Vancouver. Okay, hi Akash.
Hello, Damwani. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So obviously we're talking about the topic of masculinity today. I'm so grateful that you felt comfortable enough to have this conversation with me. So we're going to start off, I don't know if it's easy or not, but we're going to start off with a pretty lukewarm question. How do you present yourself? Like, I know that's kind of broad, but, like, basically, like, do you ever feel like you present yourself differently depending on who you're with? If it's, like, guys versus girls or anything like that?
Usually the way I'll see it is I try to present myself as, like, very warm and welcoming, because I love talking to people, so I try to be, you know, as open as possible, just so that I get to talk to people and I don't scare them off. But I think I'm just, like, more comfortable talking to girls, just because I come from a family, like, I'm very close to my mother and my sister and my grandmom. So I just feel like I'm more, I find it easier to talk to girls. And with men, I just, like, I'm a bit scared, and I don't fit with, like, the typical masculine crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, I want to fight, I want to, like, drink beer, this and that. I don't connect with that crowd, so usually mm-hmm. I find, like, I'm a bit more warm towards women. And yeah, but a lot of people say I come off as very unapproachable, which I try not to do, but I just...
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but then, I just try to be, like, I try to present myself, like, very neutral, non-judgmental, like, very open to anyone, because mm-hmm. I just want to know mm-hmm. and talk to, like, a lot of new people.
Would you say, like, you're closer to your mom? Is that why you think you're...
Yeah, like, I'm, like, very close to my mom, and, like, even my grandmom, I'm very close to her. For me, she's, like, my second mom. And then, I have, like, a lot of cousins, sisters and all. So, like, I've always been very close to them. And just, like, being born and brought up in, like, a very female, only, like, woman-dominated household, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, like, used to being around women and just, like, feeling positive and comfortable around them.
That makes sense. So in line with that, being more comfortable with, like, women, do you, like, also feel more comfortable going to, like, girls if it's, like, you're ever, like, feeling trouble? Or, like, I'm sure you have, like, both male and female friends. Or is it, like, it doesn't matter, as long as they're your friend, you feel equally comfortable with, like, talking to them?
I would say for a long time I felt it was easier for me to just, like, reach out to, like, my female friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of my closest friends were always, like, females. But now, just, like, very recently, I've, like, become very close to two of my guy friends. Like, close enough that we talk every day. And, like, we call each other the boys, and we live so close to each other. Like, every day, we call in the night and tell each other about each other's day and stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
but it took, like, a long time for me to, you know, get to feel comfortable enough to share about my feelings. But usually I feel like I reach out and I feel more comfortable reaching out to my female friends, just because I find that they are more emotionally accepting and more emotionally mature.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, if I'm not having a good day, or if I'm overthinking about some situation, they'll be able to, like, okay, breathe, Utkarsh. They'll be able to help me out and just, like, think about the situation in a better way
mm-hmm.
and not make me feel weird about my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think because of that, I still prefer going to like my female friends, but lately it's been changing a bit.
Oh, have you ever like in the past felt though that like if you talked about your feelings with your guy friends that they made you feel weird about it, or it's do you think, or is it like your own kind of like you get in your own head thinking that maybe they'll think I'm like being weird?
Like in the past, what would usually happen is that they wouldn't make me feel weird about it, but they wouldn't understand where I'm coming from. Like, mm-hmm. I would prefer, okay, like, this is how I'm feeling. Like, you know, what should I do? And they're just like, do whatever. And just like, yeah, sure. But then, like, with women, I'm able to have, like, a more mature conversation. Mm-hmm. And just, like, I feel like they're understanding what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when you're talking to someone, you're opening up, you really want them to understand and, like, acknowledge what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And often I used to find that with my female friends, I'm getting that, but not with my guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, like, with a lot of my guy friends initially, like, our friendship was very surface level.
Mm-hmm.
But with other, like, my female friends, I was actually able to talk about my feelings and open up,
yeah.
which was, like, a big thing for me.
Yeah. But you say, like, that's, like, changed recently. Is it, like, you just, like, met? Do you think, like, you were just, like, around the wrong people at first? Or, like, I don't know, have, like, people changed as we were getting older? Maybe, like, guys are just becoming more, like, open? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was around wrong people because, like, my guy friends, I love them.
Yeah.
But, like, I think, it could be that we are becoming more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, two of my closest guy friends, one of them is, like, he's definitely older. I think he's 23, he's turning 24. So mm-hmm. he's definitely old. And both of them, I think, come from, like, a similar background as me, just, like, coming from, like, a more woman-dominated household. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if that's how you would describe it. But just, like, they come from, like, households where they've always been around their mother, their sister or something. So
yeah.
just, like, they are aware, and, like, they have gone through the similar experiences where they felt like, okay, women are just, like, their experience, kind of experience, like, they are more emotionally mature.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're able to just, like, we have that emotional maturity so that we can, like, connect with each other and don't, like, you know, feel like we need to fit with the other guy crowd.
Okay. But, like, now, like, how do you, when you are, like, having those vulnerable moments, is there, like, a way that you like to approach those conversations? Like, how do you, like, start that off? It's kind of difficult. Even for me personally, it's difficult to, like, have vulnerable conversations.
One habit that I've developed that my mom, like, kind of forced me to develop is just to always talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it depends. If it's something that's really, really bothering me,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like it's made me very emotional, and I might say something or do something that's not reflective of me, or, like, for example, I'm going through something, I'm mad at someone else,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want to talk to anyone because I'm just scared that I might release my emotions on someone else and mm-hmm. they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
So if it's something like that, I take some time to cool off mm-hmm. and then just like talking to all my friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something less than that, I just like I open up. Like if you remember, like when we initially met, like after one point I was just like very comfortable sharing mm-hmm. with you guys whatever was going on in my life, because I'm like, I don't want to hide.
Yeah,
I'm not doing something that, you know, is like, oh, I should probably be hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that sharing and like listening to other people and just getting to know their perspective really helps me think about the situation in a better way, which
yeah.
is so important, because as a, like me usually I overthink a lot and I'm just like making up situations in my head which aren't like true at all.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I think opening up and talking to people and just like being like, okay, I'm overthinking this, really, really helps.
Yeah, I think in general too, like sometimes maybe we just people in general, like you think that like people may think of you differently because you, if you're opening up about
yeah.
your situation, but yeah, I can definitely identify with that, just being like an even more private person. But mm-hmm. when you do get that external validation, or like even like people right. just like giving you not necessarily advice, but just like being like, yeah, I like that's a really shitty thing, or like even
yeah.
if they don't have anything more than that to say, that's really helpful sometimes.
Exactly. And I think just this reminded me of, I'm not sure if you remember, like the one time one of our friends, you and I, we were just hanging out. And I just went like, okay, what's your deepest, darkest secret? And then all of us, we actually shared our
yeah.
deepest, darkest secrets. And it was very, it came out of nowhere. So it's just
yeah.
like, I think when you're with the right people and just you feel comfortable, it can just, you know, you can just bring it up out of nowhere and they'll understand, and then they'll be in a place to have that conversation. If they're not, they'll be like honest enough to be like, hey, can we have this conversation another time? So
yeah, exactly. So this one kind of is a little bit diversion from what we're talking about. But this one's like presenting yourself actually externally, how you dress and stuff like that. I'm really interested in, like, I really like, you know, trying to dress nice. I'm sure we all do. Do you ever feel like pressure? I know there's like a lot of like guys now who, I don't know, taking a bit more risk with their like fashion, which is like fun to see. But like, do you ever feel like you should dress a certain way, or like, is that not anything that comes up for you?
It has never really come up for me, even like from a young age. I've always preferred being comfortable in my clothes, even if they like don't fit the occasion. So like my parents, especially my mom, she would hate, like, we'd be going out, we'd be going for like some event function or something. I'd be like, I just want to go in t-shirt, shorts and flip-flops. She's like, no, you're going for someone's wedding, dude. You can't be doing that. And I'm just like,
yeah,
if I'm comfortable in that, it's not my wedding. Even if it was, like, my, you know, my life. So I've never been like, I want to impress others. I just like to wear what I'm comfortable in and what I feel like wearing. So I just go for like very loose and, you know, very like raw. Like, you know, I'll go for like a normal flannel, like the simplest shoes, like sweats, wherever I want. So I never, I've never felt like I have a pressure to, you know, dress up nice or anything. Like even for like those professional events where, you know, you have to dress up very nice, I'm just like, I want to wear something simple. Because I'll be comfortable in that. Otherwise, like in formal clothing, I don't feel that comfortable. Just because I'm like, oh, I'm trapped. I just want to be like free. So I've never felt the pressure. And I just try to be comfortable. Then I feel like when you're comfortable and you are happy with what you're wearing, you just end up looking nice and like more presentable. Because you're happy with what you're wearing and you present yourself better.
Yeah, I think we want to talk about a little bit, I don't know, the idea of like a good man. It's a little bit of a tough one. Is there anything that makes like a good man or like a real man? Like, and is there a difference between those two for you?
For me, like I don't have a definition for a good man. I have a definition of a good person. I don't differentiate between man and woman. So just like I don't know. But I do know that like one thing I've learned over my last 4 years at UBC is that unfortunately men, like, we have that privilege. And what we should, like, what makes a good man or like a real man is that one who uses that, who acknowledges that power and that privilege and uses that power and privilege to balance the field that we have. Just like, I'm just saying that we should use that, like, as a man, I should use that power to, you know, support women and give them more, like, chances to, like, showcase themselves. And, like, for me, the way I understood this example, so I'm just going to deviate altogether.
No worries.
And secondly, I was taking this gender studies class, and this, my prof, she explained this example. I'm going to use FIFA for it. So the way she explained it was that if you look at the last 10, 15 FIFAs, there are only, like, few countries that have won the FIFA World Cup again and again. And if you think about it, that makes sense. Even though any country can join, but that's not really true. Because the countries, let's say, country A wins, so now they have that prize money and all, which they can use to get better players, better equipment and whatnot. So now they have that edge. Now it becomes easier for them to beat all the other countries. So it's the same countries that beat, like, now they have so much money. So they keep improving their equipment and all. So they keep winning again and again. Even though any country can come, it's a meritocracy, but it's really not, because no one has the same starting, like, background and base. So similarly, like, as men, we have so much privilege. But, and now, you know, you go out in the field, people like, oh, it's a like an equal field. Anyone can apply for that job. Anyone can get it. But no, it really isn't like that. As a man, you have a lot of privilege. You, because of that privilege, you are more qualified or whatever. So maybe you should use that power and that privilege to, you know, actually level the playing field so that tomorrow we can actually reach a state where, you know, everyone is actually equal. So I would define a good man or like a real man like that.
Was there a point that you like were, I mean, you said you like mentioned it over your 4 years of being at UBC, but was there a point where you were like, wow, like, I guess life really is better for me just because I'm a guy? Or it's just, like, over time?
I would say over time.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think, over time, because, like, as I spoke to, like, more of, like, my female friends, and they told me more about their life and the troubles they've gone through, and I'm just like, it took me a while to understand, like, wait, what do you mean by this? Like, why is this an issue? And what is this issue, first of all?
Yeah.
And the fact that they have to explain these issues to me, I'm just like, damn, as a man, I've never had to, like, even heard of this,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you guys have to face it. You're currently facing it. So I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair. Like, if there's anything I can do, just, like, let me know, and I'll be happy to help out. But, like, hey, I don't know much about this. And, like, if the more you tell me about it, like, that really helps me understand better.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a similar thing for maybe there are things that guys go through that girls are not aware of? Like, what would be your example, the hair tie thing?
I would say one thing that guys, I feel like, go through, especially in, like, the current time, is just, like, confidence issues and esteem issues. Like, yes, there are a lot of guys who, you know, are, like, very... Not the prime example, just, like, which makes people go, like, oh, men are trash and all. But there are also a lot of men, like, guys who aren't trash.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you start generalizing that,
mm-hmm.
a lot of other guys are just like, hey, I didn't do anything, but I'm going to be treated like that, so what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, like, so scared to even, you know, talk to a girl or just, like, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have so many female friends, but even now I'm, like, scared to reach out and, like, talk to, like, new females because I'm just like, hey, I don't have that much confidence, and which seems weird, but it's like, yeah, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that, like, I've had a conversation with my guy friends, is like, guys are so underappreciated. Like, if a girl
yeah.
just even goes like, hey, you're, like, nice clothes or something, they're like, whoa, does she like me or something? Because we've never ever gotten a compliment, and just, like, so it means a lot. So just, I think that's one thing that girls don't realize, that guys are very underappreciated.
Uh-huh.
And, like, yes, some men are trash, and they're, like, they're always, like, bad fish in the
mm-hmm.
sea, but there are also, like, good fish in the sea that, you know, you should be nice to them.
Yeah.
I'm not saying just be nice to them because they're guys, just be nice. But then guys are very underappreciated, and you don't realize as to how bad, like, our self-esteem and self-confidence is.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, I guess you don't naturally go out and give a guy a compliment because
yeah.
I think maybe you do think, oh, I don't want him to think that I want him or something. But for girls, I feel like it's also very common for us to, like, you just, like, tell, oh, you look nice or something like that. Is that
yeah.
common with guys, or, like, that's not really that? So you're really, like, getting it from no one.
It's not common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with some of my guy friends, like, if I think one of the guys is wearing, like, nice clothes or something, I will compliment them. But
yeah.
it's just that even when you do it, they're just like, wait, what? They just get so awkward. Like, I know I do. If, like, someone compliments me, I'm just like, why? Like,
yeah.
why are you complimenting me? What's wrong? What's the joke? What's the prank? It's like, so it's not common at all.
Yeah,
so.
We literally witnessed that in just a few minutes
yeah.
ago, where you're complimenting a guy and he was like, oh.
Yeah, he, like, I'm like, I'm a horrible person because I find funny, but just, like, one of our friends, I always compliment him. I'm like, hey, man, you're looking nice. And he just goes like, oh, stop doing that. And that's, like, a prime example. Guys
yeah.
are not at all used to getting compliments, and just, like, they're just like, what did I do?
Yeah. Good. That's actually true, because I feel like if it was the other way, when girls tell you, oh, you look nice, you're just like, yeah, thank you. But yeah, it's weird to see that. Also, is there something that you kind of feel like you face more so being you're a South Asian man? Is there anything, like, particular, like, I don't know, stereotypes you think you face, or, like, pressures that you face, that things, like, people may not be aware of, I guess, or even things that may be aware of but you just want to speak about?
I think one of the biggest things being, like, an international student was that I'm coming into a whole different culture.
Yeah.
And, like, before I came to UBC, I'd never been to, like, any of the Americas. So it was like, I just took a gamble. I was like, you know what, let's go to Canada. And there's, like, so many cultural differences
mm-hmm.
that I, even, like, today, I'm still trying to figure out. Like, it was just a few weeks ago that I had, like, my first actual Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa, this is what it's supposed to mean. That's why, like, people enjoy and look forward to it. Because
yeah.
it was such a nice feeling. But for me, it's just like, I don't know what I'm missing out on. So just like when people are so excited for like Thanksgiving, Christmas, this and that, I'm just like, it's not a thing back home. So I just don't know what I'm missing out on. And just like sometimes I do get scared. I'm like, I don't know if I want to be asking, like, I can't really go up to people and be like, why do you like Christmas? And just like, I mean, it's Christmas. I'm just like, yes, but it's not that obvious to me. Because back home, it's just like, you miss, like, everyone says Merry Christmas and you move on. There's nothing like, you don't get hot chocolate or anything. So that's definitely like the cultural difference. I just feel like, like being a South Asian man, like, I feel like I come off as more unapproachable and just like more serious. It's like a little bit of beer, and like all of my like my closest guy friends, all of them are like South Asian, and they've noticed it's like the moment they have like a beard and just again think they become, they look very scary and all of that. That's those are the exact words that have been used to describe. And I'm just like, what? Why? Like we barely get angry. Like it's very rare that we get angry and just like I don't know why people find it scary. And just I think we have like a very weird image, and it's like when we are like there's some like South Asian men who are like born and brought up like around like Canada or US or something, so they are more culturally assimilated, but for those who aren't, it's just like they find it a bit tough to, you know, mix sometimes like mix in with the crowd. And yeah, just like feeling a bit like an outsider, but just like you just gotta talk, and you know, if they feel you're scary and all, but just like try and reach out. But then I do feel like, ah, I'm just coming off as scary, and just because, like, as a South Asian man, just like they don't really understand, didn't know us that well. And like
lack of exposure to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And yeah, I think for them, it's also just like, what do we talk to them about? I think it's like the movies and the TV shows that people see. Like, that's not. So I'm from India. That's not the place. Like, that's not how India is. Like, no, we don't. I don't have an elephant that I feed peanuts. And this is like, it's like a lot of times people are just like, how come your English is so good? And I'm just like, yes, Hindi is my first language, but like I studied in like an English school, and like I did, like my English is pretty solid. So I don't know. Like I find it like a bit amusing. Like I wouldn't be here if my English wasn't good.
Exactly. I honestly, I've gotten that. I actually got that comment too. For context, I'm also an international student, and I'm from Africa, but people, there was actually a professor who was like, and I told her where I was from, and then she's like, yeah, but your English is so good, and I'm like, but I had to write essays to get here, I had, you know, like how was I just gonna get in, like, writing in a different language that didn't even make sense, but I think it's just like, I don't know, also the media doesn't really represent anybody that well, so I know that probably I myself probably don't have a good or a good understanding of what India is really like if I went there versus like you probably may not have a very good understanding of, and that's just like because we a lot of us have like Western media, they don't really understand us, so like we only get exposed to each other through the Western view of like what each country is.
Definitely.
So yeah, that's maybe probably why.
That's why like when I meet someone who's like domestic or like from this culture, I just love talking to them about their culture, their childhood and this and that, because I'm just like, I like in my last 4 years I've realized that whatever I've seen like in the media, it's not accurate at all. So I like I really want to know what the real culture is like and what the difference is, because honestly I don't see every other person just like over here having cheeseburgers and, you know, hot dogs and like drinking Coke all the time and like just being mad about like American football or like baseball. There's so many people who are vegan, and I'm just like, the media shows like something, you know, like the exact opposite, like so many people are vegan. It's like, whoa.
You got it. You had to bring in vegans.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm vegan.
For those who don't know, of course, he's vegan and he loves talking about it, so there you go. You got a little bit of that. But okay, so is there anything you, this is kind of a detour again, is there anything you like most about being a guy? The privilege. I'm kidding.
I mean, definitely, like, the privilege is there. But then I think the privilege is so ingrained in our system that as a man, I consciously don't even know that I have, like, this is because of the privilege I have. But I mean, I can think of one stupid example, which is that my pants and this stuff, they have pockets, and they're just like, a lot of, I think, women's clothing, they don't have pockets, don't. So just
it's fake pockets. They just put the thing there, and it's like you can't go inside.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Like I get stuff which has pockets, so I think that's one. But just I would say, like, definitely there's a lot of privilege that I have as a man, but just it's so ingrained that I'm on a conscious level, I'm not aware of it as of right now. But then, like, yeah, that's all I'll say.
Is there anything else you want to talk about masculinity that we haven't touched on today?
It's a very open question.
It is very open. If there's nothing else, we can. It's okay.
I'm just trying to think. I think, I feel like now the world that we live in, toxic masculinity exists and it's very prominent, but then I think it's like developed so that it's not in our face, but then it's in our systems and it's in our day-to-day life, but we just don't see it because it's like, you know, adapted. And I think one thing that we have to do is just try and figure out, like, you know, take a step back, being like, is this because of, you know, me being a man, or is just like something in general, or like, if you're not a man, like, am I experiencing XYZ because I'm a woman, or just like, or because I'm not a man? And just like, and once you realize that, you know, like, really changes your perspective on a lot of things. And I think just being more aware about that, and just trying to be open-minded, that people are trying to learn more about it. Just like, someone doesn't know, like, tell them, and like, don't be rude, I guess.
Yeah.
And masculinity isn't like, you need to be hard, you need to be drinking beer, you want to, you know, you're someone who likes fighting, this and that. You can be someone who's emotional, who likes the color pink, who doesn't want to fight, doesn't want to drink beer. You can be something very different. That doesn't make you feminine. And being feminine isn't a bad thing. Honestly, like, if I have more feminine traits, I like it. I'm very happy with that. I'll choose emotional maturity any day. So, like, the whole idea of masculinity, like, it needs to change. It's changing. But, like, I think talking more about it through, like, conversations like this, I think, is the way to go ahead.
Yeah. And with that, that brings us to the end of this conversation.
For this episode, we also spoke to Caleb, a Black man who is a fourth-year bio major who is also part of the UBC track and field team.
So, hey, Caleb.
Hey.
So, obviously, we're here to talk about, like, masculinity, and the first question we kind of have revolving around that is, how do you, as a man, obviously, present yourself? And do you ever feel like you come across, or you try to come across differently depending on who you're around? If it's, like, men versus women, if it's, like, your family versus your friends, that kind of thing?
So when I'm, like, around kind of, like, people I don't know, I kind of, like, am more shy. But I'm, like, also just try to be myself and be kind and, like, courteous, like I was taught growing up. And when it comes to, like, being with, like, my friends and family, I'm obviously, like, I'm more relaxed, and I just kind of, like, don't care as much, but I still obviously am going to be kind to them because I love them. But when it comes to, I guess, people of different races and BIPOC, non-BIPOC, I kind of treat everyone the same, just because, like, one thing my dad always taught me growing up is, like, people are people, and you always have to, like, treat them with kindness and love, because you never know at the end of the day where you'll end up and who you'll meet. And, like, who's going to be your boss and stuff like that. So that's kind of, like, how I treat people.
So for you, you don't really feel a difference if you're, like, if it's a guy or if it's, like, somebody or a girl or people who present differently with their gender or that kind of thing?
Not really. Like, obviously, growing up in a small town, like, if I meet someone kind of, like, that does that, I guess, identifies as, like, pronouns that they don't look like, that will, like, at first I'm a bit shocked because I'm not used to that, but over time, like, they're just another person like me and, like, everyone else I know.
Yeah, that's fair. This is kind of a deeper question, but obviously with masculinity, a lot of people feel like sometimes guys are more, like, closed off emotionally. Is there, like, somebody, like, for you personally, when you're feeling down or low, are there people that you typically approach for that, or?
Well, it really just depends on how I'm feeling. Like, if I'm a really, I'd say, dark place, I don't really talk to anyone about it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not in as a dark place, but I'm not feeling, like, the best, I might go to, like, my girlfriend or my best friend, just depending on it. But overall, like, just how I was raised, I don't really talk about my feelings too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just taught, like, feelings are feelings, and you have to kind of get through the day regardless of how you feel, because no one really cares.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, like, how I deal with that. I try to be more open over the past like few years about how I feel,
mm-hmm.
but it's still like a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm. You talk about the fact that you were raised kind of with that mentality. Is it, do you think that you were raised like that because you're a guy, or like even if you were a girl, your parents would have probably raised you with the same kind of mindset? Is it a cultural thing, or?
I'm actually not too sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like the way my dad is in general, like, he's a pretty closed off person, so I guess maybe if I was a girl, he'd still like have treated me the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't really say, because like I don't have any like sisters, so mm-hmm. I don't have anything to compare it to for yeah. how my dad raised me compared to someone else.
Mm-hmm. So when you do open up, you say at least you open up with your girlfriend and maybe your friends. Like, how do you open up those like more vulnerable conversations?
Well, most of the time I don't really start the conversation. They might notice something that's kind of like off about me, and they might ask me how I'm doing. And most of the time, the first time they ask me that, I don't tell them the truth, and I just kind of like, I'm like, nah, I'm fine, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like going through the motions. But if they like ask me again and I'm like feeling a bit more like open to talking about, I might say like a few things of how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the day, I might open up about more, but a lot of the times it takes a lot for me to actually say what's going on.
Yeah. Do you think any of that is to do with kind of, like, being a guy, or maybe it's, like, a personality thing, or I don't know?
I think a lot of it has to do with being a guy, because I remember just, like, growing up, and, like, all my girlfriends, like, all of them, like, they're all, like, talking about their feelings all the time, and, like,
mm-hmm.
everyone's in their feels 24/7, but then, like, when I was, like, with my group of guy friends, everyone's just, like, they don't talk about any emotions, they're just, like, talking about sports, or, like, girls, or, like, those type of things,
mm-hmm.
and so, yeah, it's kind of, like, how it went.
Yeah, that's fair. Had you ever had an interaction with maybe your friends where you did try to open up about your emotions and maybe it didn't go how you expected, or have you never tried to?
I have.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've noticed, and like I even do this too sometimes, but like whenever like we're having like a serious conversation, like maybe we'll just like start cracking jokes about stuff. Like let's
yeah.
say like we're kind of feeling depressed, we might like make a bunch of jokes about being depressed and stuff instead of like kind of being serious about the task at hand. But then at the same time, I feel like that does actually help, because it's like, oh, like, yeah, both of us are kind of depressed right now, and like we're making light of the situation
yeah.
instead of kind of like, even though we don't delve deep into it,
mm-hmm.
we're kind of like comfort each other in the jokes that we're making, despite them being like some people thinking that they may not be politically correct, but
yeah.
it's a coping mechanism,
I guess. So yeah, it is a coping mechanism. Honestly, I think I sometimes do that with my friends too, but yeah, this is a little bit more off that topic, but like in terms of like dressing, I know that, I don't know, there's like a specific way that's considered more manly. I know that like people like Harry Styles and other people kind of like push that border across, but do you ever feel like pressured to like dress a certain way being a guy, or like you kind of feel like you dress how you want to?
Yeah, I'm not someone who really focuses on, like, fashion, like, all that stuff. So I just kind of, like, wear what I think I should put on in the morning. Like, some
mm-hmm.
people plan out their outfits, like, the night before every single day. And for me, I'm just, like, you know, I'm just trying to be comfortable and enjoy my day. And if people don't like the way I look, well, I'm not dressing for them. I'm dressing
yeah.
for myself. And, like, I've just seen so many issues, like, growing up, and how people have dressed for other people. And then, like, they get jealous and stuff like that. So I've just
yeah.
kind of, like, steered clear of those type of things.
Yeah, that's fair. So yeah, this one is a little bit more broad of a question, but are there any words that kind of come to mind when you're asked what does it mean to be a good person?
Yeah, like being like virtuous, kind, loving, those type of things, generous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a lot on the way here. And it's also very subjective, because in different countries and different cultures, being a good person, being a good man, can mean so many different things.
Yeah.
But for me, that's what it kind of means.
Do you think it's different for you, like, being a good man for you on a personal level versus, like, I don't know what the culture says, maybe in Canada, like, being brought up here? Or do you, I don't know, is there one definition for you to be a good man?
For me, it's kind of like, how do you treat your family and your friends? Mm-hmm. Do you treat them with kindness and love, or do you kind of disregard who they are and what they want and what they care about?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, are you willing to kind of, like, use what you have and your gifts and talents to make the world a better place? Like, let's say you're really good at speaking. Are you going to go speak to people and try to motivate them to become better people? Or are you just going to, like, keep that to yourself and not, like, grow those talents and mm-hmm. stuff like that?
What about the question of what does it mean to be a real man? Is that kind of different for you to being a good man, or is it?
It's slightly different. I think to be a real man is to recognize your faults
mm-hmm.
and grow from them and try to become a better man every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's many men that I've seen, and they think that they're great. They think they're a real man because they can deadlift 500 pounds, like 600 mm-hmm. pounds, but they treat their family terribly, and they don't recognize how they're treating their family. And if someone says something to them, mm-hmm. they'll get defensive and not want to improve and ponder the fact that, hey, maybe I'm not treating people around me properly.
Mm-hmm.
I need to change that attitude.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for me, a real man is someone that can recognize when they're at fault
mm-hmm.
and then try to become better.
Yeah. And you spoke a little bit about this idea of, like, maybe some guys think it's, like, lifting a really heavy weight. Do you think there is, like, kind of a discrepancy in, like, your personal views of a real man and, like, I don't know, why our society says, like, what it means to be a real man?
Yeah, I definitely think my view differs
mm-hmm.
just because, like, I mean, growing up, like, where I grew up, a lot of men are like, oh, you have to be strong, blah, 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 you have to do this, that, that. And for me, it's like, yeah, it's cool to be strong. Like, I'm pretty strong, but I do that because I like sports. If mm-hmm. I didn't play sports, I probably wouldn't care that much.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, it does change, because I think you can be weak, like, mm-hmm. physically.
Yeah.
But if you're strong mentally, I think that's much more important mm-hmm. in being a real man, because, I mean, your mind will control everything about you.
Yeah. Now, you're an athlete, obviously. I've always kind of wondered about this personally, is that for a lot of guys, I feel like they're, you bond, like, not obviously this is very, like, generalizing, but a lot of guys bond over, like, playing sports or watching sports or stuff like that. But if there is a guy who maybe isn't into that kind of stuff, is that, like, is it harder to form relationships if you're not kind of into sports or, like, more physical things or social things? Or, like, how do you kind of form relationships outside of that?
Well, for me, like, I like other things besides just sports. Like, sports obviously is a huge part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, I generally like reading and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and learning more about different cultures or just, like, different people. And so, like, I can bond with people, like, just learning about who they are and the type of things they like, because for me, I think it's really cool if someone doesn't like the same things as me
mm-hmm.
and then we can discuss, like, the different aspects of the things that we like, because I'm like, oh wow, I didn't know that about that certain thing that you like. I'm like, wow, that's
yeah.
so interesting, like, tell me more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they might have the same questions, like, oh, like, why'd you do these certain things when you play sports? I'm like, oh, it's because of this.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, like, how I see bonding with other people. You don't have to just be, like, have the same interests all the time, but you
yeah.
can have different interests and, like, introduce each other to new things.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Is there, now you identify as Black, do you feel like there is, like, additional pressures and, like, trying to be a Black man as opposed to, like, obviously the given standard in, like, I feel like most Western context is, like, white male, but, like, you being a Black man, do you feel additional pressures?
I definitely do. And my dad has, like, made that abundantly clear to me so many different times, because, like, when I was a kid, I didn't understand the idea that I had a different skin tone than other people, and that made me different. But as I got older, I started to understand the narrative that my dad was telling me. It's like, you have to work harder than other people, because if you're just doing the bare minimum,
mm-hmm.
like, they're going to call you lazy and, like, oh,
yeah.
all Black people are like this.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always had to raise the standard of how I was. And then especially in sports, like, because the majority of, like, sports players in certain leagues
yeah.
are Black African
yeah.
Americans. And so a lot of the times I got oh, you're just good at this because you're black. Mm. And no one saw all the work that I put in.
Yeah.
And so that was, like, very difficult. But then I had to come to terms with that because that's just kind of, like, how the world operates.
Yeah.
And no one, like, really cares, like, what you... Like, they care what you are, but they don't, like... They don't care about how you feel.
Yeah. Do you feel like there is, like, changing? Or, like, what could... Do you feel like there are things that could be done to change? Or that's, like, just... I know it's something that we have to deal with, being, like, black.
I think it will take time because, like, racism and these different views are, they're nurtured at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you have a group of people in a family and they continuously teach their children the same things that black people are inferior to others and that the white race is, like, superior and mm-hmm. the best, and they just, like, perpetually, like, tell that narrative over and over, it's going to take a while for communities to come to terms that everyone is just a person, and mm. it's just the amount of, like, melanin you have in your skin that really just changes your skin color.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, like, serious like mm-hmm. they think it is sometimes. So I think it could take quite a bit of time, but as time goes on, things do change.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but I also agree with you. I think it will take a lot of time. But this is a more positive question. What do you like most about being a man?
The freedom, honestly. Like, when I talk to some of my female friends and they're like, I can't go out after, like, 11 p.m. And I'm like, wow, that's such a privilege that I have, that I can walk around at any point in the day,
mm-hmm.
whether it be light out or dark out, and I feel pretty safe. And it mm-hmm. also helps that I'm, like, 6'3", and not, like, 5'2".
Yeah.
But, like, those things, that's probably my favorite part,
mm-hmm.
is because I just don't have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of brings us to most of the questions I had, but is there anything else that you wanted to talk about regarding, like, masculinity or things that you think are important to note?
Not really, but I guess one thing I wanted to ask is, like, what kind of, like, motivated you guys to come out here and ask about masculinity and, like, this topic?
Well, this podcast is probably... It's not probably. It is supposed to, like, center on, like, people of color. And I think that with, like, masculinity, I think there are a lot of problematic stereotypes kind of placed on, like, depending on what the race is and, like, what people think a real man means, or what a black man are like, or what Asian men are like, and all of these kind of harmful stereotypes. And I was really interested in hearing from the perspectives of, like, those groups of people and being, like, but what does it mean for, like, those people to be, you know, men? And obviously that's why we had our conversation here today, but...
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
So, if you've made it this far into the episode, thank you. We appreciate your audience. Feel free to follow our socials. The links will be on the CITR website. And basically, thank you. Bye-bye. Happy holidays. I know it's too early, but happy times. Bye.